Good morning, my CBC Corpus family, my brothers and sisters, and welcome to anyone who might be joining us for the first time. We're glad you're here. Well, we're in Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. So if you have a Bible, a copy of God's Word, or can navigate on your device, meet me at Genesis chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 15 through 27, the second half of that chapter. But before I jump into the sermon, let me just quickly say I'm excited to regather with everyone next Sunday, the Sunday that where we begin to meet every Sunday at the Emerald Beach Hotel on Shoreline Drive here in Corpus Christi, Texas. So make sure you get the word out and share it with others and invite others to join us there at 10:30 at Emerald Beach Hotel on Shoreline Drive in Corpus. Well, enough of that. Let's jump into the text. Let's look at what we're dealing with today. Pastor Eddie began the process of unpacking this chapter, Genesis chapter 17. Incredible to see God's covenant promise to Abraham and to his offspring, which includes us, by the way, believers who have been saved by grace through Christ Jesus. And so this is important information for us to see where it all began as we begin to see more specifically what God has done in the covenant, in that covenant that actually stretches on into the new covenant as it relates to how God saves. God is the God of salvation. And so as we look at that, we're going to try to see today three principles of God's covenant promises. And as we look at those three principles of God's covenant promises, covenant is another way to say agreement, where we are in agreement with God, or we are brought into agreement with God, we're going to understand that here God is specifically calling Abraham, as he's already changed his name, to comply with the terms of this covenant. So we'll get more into that as we go along. So the title for this sermon today is Covenant Compliance. So if you're taking notes, jot that down, Covenant Compliance. We're going to look at three principles of God's covenant promises. Let's read the text together. Genesis chapter 17, beginning at verse 15. And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who was 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." Wow, getting specific. And verse 22, when he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day. Ouch. As God had said to him, Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised, and all the men of his house, those born in the house and those bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. Blessed be the reading of God's holy, inerrant word. Let us pray. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that once again we are met with the reality of the power of your word. And Father, today you are bringing us the narrative of your covenant with Abraham and his offspring, those born and bought into his family. Now help us to understand more what this text is teaching in principle so that we as your new covenant people can continue to live obediently unto thee, O Lord, for you are worthy of our allegiance, our worship, our adoration, our everything. Father, so we thank you for this time together. I pray that all who are at the sound of this preaching, this teaching, may benefit greatly because of your Holy Spirit through the spoken word of God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Again, three principles of God's covenant promises. The first one is this: God's covenant promise is initiated by grace. God's covenant promise is initiated by grace. This is all of God. Everything that is happening here, God is speaking in chapter 17. God came to Abraham. God met Abraham. God spoke to Abraham. God commanded Abraham. And Abraham was left to respond. That's much like us when we are called by God. And it's because God initiates all of that by grace. So the first principle we see in this chapter 17, we're going to be dealing with the last part, but it's important to get the thread, as Pastor Eddie so eloquently preached last Sunday, to help us understand how all this is connected together. And it is important for us to see that, yes, God established these things with Abram, but it also included Sarah. And this is critical for our understanding how it applies to us, because one might be tempted to actually read something like this and say, that must have been good for Abraham back then, so long ago. But that doesn't apply to me because I'm under the new covenant. Brothers and sisters, please do not be tempted to go that direction, because that is error. The covenant here that was established by God, initiated by God's grace to Abraham and his offspring and his household, those born and bought, which is two important words there, which would include us down the line because of our wonderful, precious King Jesus, that covenant is still in effect to this day. And you may ask, how? Well, we'll get into it. You'll begin to see, I think, how that is possible and how that is true to the word. So the old covenant, this covenant, did not end with the new covenant. Absolutely not. It all runs together. There are three major covenants in all of Scripture. Three major ones: the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, and the new covenant. And all of them are intertwined. All of them start and have yet to be completed, because we are still looking for the complete fulfillment where Jesus will come and usher in his kingdom. But we, as his covenant people, must learn what this means for us in principle. And so this is going to be critical for us to understand what this means, that God's covenant promise is initiated by grace. Thank God. Just take a moment right now to thank God for his grace. Let's go back to our text in verse 15 as we rehearse it. But before we do that, actually, I want to give you a breakdown of the entire chapter so you can see how, again, it's all connected together. You can take what Pastor Eddie preached and you can put all this together and see how it all fits. Well, we see again that there are four distinct sections in chapter 17. Four distinct sections. We are going to be dealing primarily with the last two, but the first section we find in verses 1 through 8. So if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Verses 1 through 8 are the contents of the covenant. The contents of the covenant. So we have God giving the contents of the covenant there. In verses 9 to 14, we see the sign of the covenant. The sign of the covenant, circumcision. Verses 15 to 21, we see the recipients of the covenant, Abraham and all of his household, and the line that would come through Isaac, so forth. So the recipients of the covenant are given in verses 15 to 21. And in verses 22 to 27, this is where we see a beautiful example that we are to follow, Abraham's compliance with the covenant. Abraham's compliance with the covenant. So you have, again, these four sections. You have the contents of the covenant. You have the sign of the covenant. You have the recipients of the covenant. And you have the compliance with the covenant. And this would be important as we are talking about covenant compliance. Again, in verse 15, if you will look at the word of God with me, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, remember her name hasn't changed yet, it's about to change right now, Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Now remember, Sarai means my princess. And Sarah is just another way to say that, but it's princess. She would not only be Abraham's princess, so to speak, she would now be the princess where kings and others would come through her and would be that line through Isaac that would be established as God's chosen people. And so now Sarai's name changes to Sarah. And then God says twice, look at this. He says, God says to Abraham, I will bless her. Now, think of, remember, don't forget chapter 16. I mean, you think, wow, Sarah's not, I mean, think about her character. Think about what she did. And yet, God says here, I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. Now, you can imagine what Abraham's thinking at this point, listening to this. I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, God says again, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. So now it has been expanded. God promises that those that would come through her and through Isaac would be kings, the kings of Israel, and all of that leading up to the ultimate king, King Jesus, who is in the line of Abraham and Isaac. And so this is incredible to see how this is given to us here. And then, in verse 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Incredulous, isn't it? And said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Now, you have to admit, we do the same. How can we think that we could accomplish this? Well, that's the point. It's amazing what we think we can accomplish. We keep on thinking we can do something when it is impossible for us, but it's not impossible with God. But he falls on his face and laughs and says to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, notice again, think about Sarai's solution. Abraham is throwing out a quick idea here. And he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. We can learn a lesson. This is a very important verse, a very important transition in the text here as we see this interaction between God and Abraham. So Abraham, his part in this is that Ishmael, the son I already have, he's 13. I mean, he's right here. You don't have to do anything. You can use him, God. He said, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. But look what God says. What does he say? No. God said no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant. Now, this is an important verse. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, now, he does respond to Abraham's concern over Ishmael. And this is God's common grace to Ishmael and Hagar and the family, and that family. He's asked for Ishmael, I have heard you. God hears us. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes. Look at the parallel. 12 tribes of Israel, 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But that is the kicker here. We need to see the distinction and understand it. But God is saying, I will establish what? My covenant. This is God's covenant. He is calling us into covenant, into agreement with him. And he is going to establish that, he says here, with Isaac. The son that God is telling Abraham is going to be born to him through Sarah, by Sarah. that he and Sarah, only God knows how, he and Sarah are going to have a child in a year. In a year. God narrows the time. They've been waiting. They've been impatient. And God says, my time is on time. It's the right time. And we, as an aside, brothers and sisters, we need to remember, friends, that God's timing is best. But here, God clearly lets Abraham know that he, God, is establishing his covenant with Isaac. That is God's plan. That has been God's plan all along. And he says, I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. Wow. Imagine. So Abraham is taking all of this in. And God has given him faith. And he believes. It's hard. Doesn't understand it all, but he's brought to believe this and to receive this news. And so he acts on this. So the last part of this is that this section that we're dealing with here is compliance. Look, when he had finished talking with him, God said in verse 22, God went up from Abraham. That means God came, spoke to Abraham, and left. I remember, it makes me think of the ascension when Jesus ascended and told his disciples to go into all the world. This is the same thing. God came and went up from Abraham. Then, look what Abraham does as a covenant man of God, as a man who has been called into agreement to agree with God and to obey God. There's a word that it's going to be very important for us in this particular sermon, the word obedience. So he says, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house. And he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised, and all the men of his house, those born in the house and those bought with the money from a foreigner who were circumcised, they were circumcised with him. Ouch, it was a lot of pain going on there, if you know what I mean. But anyway, the point here is Abraham responded as God spoke to him and corrected him and brought him into alignment with his will and plan and purpose. Abraham responded and complied with the terms of the covenant. He complied. He was brought into compliance by obeying and acting right then and there, responding with obedience to God's covenant promise. That is so important. That's what we're talking about here. So as we think about these three principles of what it means to be in covenant compliance, that has great implications for us, brothers and sisters, because like Abram was called to obey God then, we as believers are called to obey God now. As Abraham was called to obey God then, as we are reading here in Genesis chapter 17, we, you and I, as believers, if we have been saved by grace, we are called to live in obedience and respond and comply with the terms of the covenant promise of God that are still in effect, that is still in effect to this day. Praise God for that. The second one is we see God's sign. This God's covenant promise is confirmed by a sign. So we see the sign of circumcision. Circumcision then was a major sign for that time, for Abraham's line. Of course, under the new covenant, that's a little different. We don't have time to get into all of that. Pastor Eddie alluded to some of that last week as he explained circumcision. But what's at issue here for us, especially as we are looking at this text and how it applies to us, is being born again, being circumcised of the heart. Circumcised of the heart. And I'll talk more about that in just a moment. So now we are dealing with the covenant promises of God, complying with God's promise, with God's call, and obediently following the Lord. Because again, do not forget what God was calling Abraham to do, to walk before him and be blameless, to walk before him and be blameless. Now, how, again, does this apply to us? Aren't we under a new covenant? Yes. But the terms of the covenant are in place. We must give a sign. There must be a witness. There must be some sort of issue that demonstrates that we are of the household of faith, that we have been not only born again, because that's important, but we've been bought with a price. And so, beautiful thing, because now we, even as Gentiles, non-Jews, have been grafted in. We've been grafted in by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross into the family of God, into the covenant promise that God established right here in Genesis chapter 17. And it is an everlasting covenant. This is how we know that this Abrahamic covenant does not stop or end with the new covenant, because God himself said it is an everlasting covenant. It has no end. We are still in, it is still in effect to this day. Romans chapter 11, verses 17 and 18. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Man, again, God is the initiator of his covenant promise by grace. And the sign for us, I believe, my convictions are that the sign for us as believers under the new covenant is new birth, born again, new birth. If new birth has taken place, then we are going to obediently be baptized, and we are going to follow the Lord, and we are going to do what he tells us to do. Now, we are not under any obligation under the new covenant to be circumcised. That's external. And it's not prohibited, but it's not required. What is required of us, those of us still under the terms of that covenant, we must be born again. We must be born into the family, and we must be bought, and we are, as believers, under the new covenant. Now remember, as we get on to chapter 18, we see this in chapter 18, verses 10, 11, and 12, and speaking to Sarah now, the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Great story, by the way. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? Again, thinking in some sort of logical way. It just seemed rational. But this is not a rational thing. This is a spiritual thing. And God would provide her with a child, and she would get to experience God's miraculous. And God would get all the glory, because it had nothing to do with her. It had nothing to do with Abraham. It was initiated by God and by his grace. In Genesis 35, verse 11, speaking to Jacob, look at the same language here. This is the God of creation establishing a covenant with Abraham and his offspring. And Jacob is as part of the line. He's the offspring. And God comes and speaks to him as well in chapter 35, verse 11. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Just pause there for a minute. Think about that. Just say, Lord, you are God. And you are God Almighty. But he says to him here in Genesis 35, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. You see, the covenant promise, the effects of that covenant promise are still in effect then, as they were before in Abraham and Sarah's time. In Genesis chapter 9, we see Noah. Remember, I mentioned the Noahic covenant. Well, that was before Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 9, verses 11, 12, and 13, this is what God said to Noah. He says, I establish my covenant with you. So God is establishing covenants with his chosen ones. So here's what we see in Genesis chapter 17. We see God sovereignly electing Isaac. Don't miss that. In Genesis chapter 17, this last section is beautiful, because it is all of God. It is all of his mercy and grace over sinners like Abraham and Sarah. But here, in Noah's day, God says, I will establish my covenant. It is God's covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For all future generations, I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign. So in Noah's day, in Noahic covenant, the sign is a rainbow. In Abrahamic covenant, the sign is circumcision. So he put the bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. These are signs of the covenant. We as new or born again people are signs that God's covenant is in effect and he has chosen a people for himself. In verse 7, don't miss this. This is how we are a part of this. And brothers and sisters, we have been grafted in by saving grace through the person and work of Jesus Christ. In Genesis 17:7, don't miss this, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. The gospel writer in John kind of gets this idea in the first century, and he writes in John chapter 3, beginning at verse 5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Ishmael was born of the flesh. Okay? And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Isaac was born of the promise, the Spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Brothers and sisters, we must be born again to be the sign that God has saved us. And it'll bear fruit in keeping with repentance. We will be witnesses to everyone around us that we have been transformed by the power of the gospel. So we must be born again. That is the clincher. We cannot comply with this covenant. We cannot be in compliance unless we are called in and we are compliant and we are obedient to the gospel, to the Lord. In 1 Peter 1, 3, 4, 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ according to his great mercy. God had great mercy on Abraham and Sarah. He has caused us, those of us under the new covenant, to be what? Born again to a living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. I love this. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? What we have is we have from God by grace. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Brothers and sisters, this is good news. We are not only, in Abraham's day, they were circumcised. And even though Ishmael and others may have been circumcised, they weren't circumcised of the heart because God's promise wasn't going to go through Ishmael. Ishmael wasn't going to be brought into that covenant promise. God had common grace over them, but God's covenant, God established his covenant with Isaac, with Abraham, with Sarah, with Isaac and Jacob, and all of that line leading to us who have been saved by grace. And so we have to understand that we are part of the covenant by faith. Let me say that again. You and I, brother or sister, believer, true believer, we are part of the covenant by faith, not by flesh, not by external means, not by religion, not by ideas or ideologies. We are part of the covenant that is still in effect, that was established then in Genesis, here in Genesis 17, with Abraham and his offspring. We are part of that covenant by faith, and that covenant is still in effect, brothers and sisters. And lastly, we see here, as we wrap this up, God's covenant. The third principle is God's covenant promise requires obedient response. That's important. But let me spend some time on that before we close. God's covenant promise, the one that's in effect, if you and I are going to truly find ourselves a part of the family of God, it requires It requires obedient response. To be in disobedience is to not partake in the covenant. So important. I love, we are purchased into the covenant. We are purchased into the covenant family of God by birth and by blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Believers, today we are purchased into the covenant family of God by birth and by blood. But here's the clincher. Without obedience to the command of God, there is no participation in the covenant of God. Without obedience to the command of God, there is no participation in the covenant of God. We cannot disobey and then call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ. We can't say, I serve the Lord, when we actually serve Satan, or we serve ourselves, or we live in disobedience. It does not work that way. Some of the Jews, even of Abram's day, or even in the first century, as Jesus himself was ministering on the earth as the God-man, some of the Jews were content that they were descendants of Abraham. They said, we are descendants of Abraham. But they were descendants of Abraham by flesh, not by faith. Why? Because they were non-compliant with the terms of the covenant. And again, what are the terms? Walk before me and be blameless. Genesis 17, 1 and 2. Genesis 17, look back up at the first verse. They, those Jews who said, we come from Abraham, we're Jewish, but they were not circumcised from the heart. And they were not in obedience, which means they were not in compliance with the terms of the covenant. They were not walking before the Lord, and they were not blameless. That is powerful. So, brother or sister, as you think about what these texts mean, either we obey God and comply and live in covenant compliance, or we don't obey God and we are out of fellowship. It doesn't matter what we think, it doesn't matter what we say. Because God initiates, by grace, his covenant promise. And he seals it with a sign. And the sign for us is going to be your new birth, our being born again. And that is going to be a powerful sign because it will tell the truth of who we are in Christ and whether we are obeying him, living for him, albeit fighting sin, living a life of repentance, of contrition, of sorrowful grief over our sin and repenting and turning from that and living to the glory of God. So crucial as you think about what it means to be in covenant compliance. Wow, the gospel is all over this thing. And God has always, always pointed us to the reality of what this would mean for all of his children. The multitude that Abraham could not even fathom in his mind. In Matthew 15, 7 and 9, we see these words, you hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. I mean, this is serious business to not be in compliance with the covenant promise of God. In Genesis 18, 14, don't forget. Remember, Abraham laughed, Sarah laughed. 90, 99, there's no way we can get this done, God. And then we see this question in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 18. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you. This is God speaking. About this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. It shall be done. Let there be light, and there was light. The word of God, the breath of God is powerful. Finally, Genesis 17, 13, we can see how even Noah and his family complied. They obeyed. It's an unbelievable story, the story of the flood. But here in Genesis 17, verse 13, we see these words. On the very same day, remember Abraham that very day was circumcised, him, he and his household. That very same day as God spoke to Noah, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. Beautiful words. Let me give you significance. Entered the ark. God said to do something. God commanded them to do something, and they obeyed. They complied, and they entered the ark. When you respond to the gospel and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, you enter into the ark that is Christ himself. Brothers and sisters, don't live in disobedience any longer. If you've been in disobedience, if you've been racked with guilt, torn because of your sin, today is the day to turn and repent and come before the Lord, walk before him and be blameless. That means be holy. Seek to be holy before the Lord. Turn from all that is wicked and allow God to continue to sanctify you, because you have been born again and bought with a price. And that is good news. Let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your covenant promises. I thank you, Father, that you've called your children, your people, to obedience and to compliance. And right now, in this moment, I humbly ask for forgiveness. We all pray right now that you would forgive us when we have sinned against you, like Abraham, like Sarah, like many others across time to the current time. We ask that you would forgive us when we have strayed, when we have walked away, when we have done things that are not in keeping with the terms of the covenant you have established with us, your people, the offspring of Abraham. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to grow and understand the principles that are being given to us here in Genesis chapter 17. And as we continue to look forward, we thank you, Father, that your word is powerful to do its work in us, to renew our minds, and to make us right before you. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen.